with it. BJ on the beat, you already know we had to do it. Get the fresh and clean and we're sitting back. We got Quinn in the house, man. What's up with that? We got Morgan Lee chilling. We got BJ and he's grilling. You know the Fresh and Clean podcast. We in here. Go ahead and tune in. Your whole ass bitch. What's up? Yo, what it do? What it do? It's the Fresh and Clean podcast, man. What's cracking with y'all? What's cracking? Turn your radios down. Turn your radios down. It's your boy, the Pied Piper of podcasting, the most electrifying brother all over the globe. It is I, Mr. Nate Robertson, and it's always with me. We a trio. My girl Morgan Lee and my dog B Jizzle. What's cracking with you, dog?
The 57th intro song we've had since we've done this.
I know. What happened to the first one?
Well, you kept saying to try another one.
No. I meant like the very, very first ones.
I don't know, because we just kept switching it up because that was something.
No intro.
Well, we had the one where we would just play you freestyling on it.
Yeah. I meant like the very, very first ones like we used to do. And I like those. And we're locked in.
Yeah, we just always keep switching things up.
Every day. Every day's a new day. Well, we got our special guest today. Miss Morgan Lee, you want to do the intro?
Yeah, I would, but I don't know how to pronounce his last name. So we have here a comic. His name is Quinn.
You got to try.
Schlegel.
Yeah, Schlegel. Nailed it. That's not bad. Yeah. What's up, guys? How are you?
Said it perfect.
I mean, it could have been Schlegel or Schlegel. There's really a 50-50 chance. And what kind of name is Schlegel?
It's German. And I'm actually Robert Emmett Schlegel V. So,
ooh, wow. Damn.
That means there were four other pompous assholes who were like, what should we name him? You know, oh,
that
I
does
got
sound
him.
Like some secret society.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, you got him.
Yeah, so Quinn's just a nickname because it's Latin for the fifth. So, quintuplets is Latin for the fifth. So, they just shortened it. So.
Look at that. Look at that.
That is a.
That's nice.
Wait, quintuplet. You're not a.
No.
Okay. That'd be weird if you were the fifth and then there were like four
also
others.
Also, four
yeah.
others. Yeah, no.
That'd be dope.
Damn. Could
That'd
you
be
imagine?
Painful.
Yeah.
Painful? What?
Dude, I can't imagine. Like, what's the mom that used to be on TV for having.
Oh,
it's like
the
John
Octomom.
And,
Octomom? Yeah.
John and Kate plus eight
oh,
or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and Kate. But Octomom did all eight of them.
Yeah, one.
By choice, yeah.
By choice. Why?
I think she did because she didn't. There was no Octo Dad in the picture.
I thought it was.
I thought it was just like she went to the hospital. Hold and on. She got like
she
in vitro.
She pulled a Jesus?
Yeah. We got eight little disciples running around California right now. No,
Jesus
it's like
touched
a.
Touched it. Pow.
It was a.
Shot a firecracker in that thing. Pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think like she went to get them artificially inseminated. Is that still a term?
Yeah, it was David Solomon was used to produce the Octo.
Was used to produce.
Yep, as well as her previous six children. Solomon stated that she dated David once, but then realized she was only wanting to father her children and not pursue any relationship with him.
Mm. So she didn't even get raw-dogged. She just like...
She got honey-based.
To just pop them out. Like, that's not even worth it.
It took
point,
46 scrambling doctors and nurses to
Jesus
perform the
Christ.
C-section.
46? Goodness.
Mm-hmm. That looked like a massacre.
Dude, if you're
C-section, more like an ocean section. That was really dumb.
That shit looks like roast beef.
If you're the director of the show, like, you come back home to your family and you're like, guys, I made it. Like, we finally get to direct a show. Here it comes. It's the Octomom, and you've just got to follow her around for... Her being miserable, like just fat, overweight, and she's enormous at that point. Like, and you just have to sit there and film that all day.
I couldn't do it.
I bet you he doesn't direct a ton of stuff anymore.
What's
I could be wrong.
What would be worse, that or my 600-pound life?
Oh.
Mm.
At least you can get rid of the weight as a baby.
Yeah, and the smell.
Like by giving birth to the baby. I've seen my 600-pound life, and they have to... Their like spouse will douse them with a hose in the backyard.
Yeah, the
like
best one is when they had a heart attack and they had to cut the wall out and a forklift had to take them out.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
And then you got Dr. Now just like, why are you not losing weight? I love that.
The best
show.
The best line.
You can't go on this without.
She's like, I'm a picky eater. He's like, you're 600 pounds. You're not picky.
It cracks me up. He's like, we need you to lose 300 pounds. Or maybe even like just one person in weight, and and they're like, I'm trying so hard, and they're like in their hotel eating three pizzas by themselves, And then they got their family snitching on them. Yeah. It's very fun.
It's great. It makes me feel better about my weight all the time. If I'm ever feeling bad about my weight, I just throw that on. I'm not doing that bad.
The only qualm I have with that show is that they dig deep into the psychological reasons as to why. And then that's just a bummer.
Oh, you start thinking about yourself and internalizing it
a
little bit?
No, no. They just like, they get personal with it. And they're like, this is why I'm fat. And like, been fat ever since my uncle touched me or something like that. And they're like 10 years old and you're like, fuck, like, this isn't funny anymore. It's just sad. So I stopped watching it.
No, the worst part is when they were talking about, like, you know, the bathing process and then, like, you got to make sure to roll them over because of the sores. Mm-hmm. And I was like, click.
It's enough.
Not watching this. I don't want to watch, like, bed sores and all this other stuff. And
I mean, it's one thing to get, like, hurt an injury from a movement. That makes sense. But from the lack thereof.
Wild. You got to really sit around.
Yeah.
Like if I sit around for a full day and don't do anything, I kind of start to like get mad at myself about it. I'm like, dude, you didn't do anything today. Can you imagine sitting there weeks on end and like not moving? Just crazy thought. We like had to get up to get here.
Yeah.
The only one that didn't have to move was BJ, and he still walked from one room to the other room, no problem. Like, they can't do that.
And we're really proud of you for that, BJ.
Good job,
yep.
BJ.
Yep. Never burn that shit. That is absolutely right. So the Buck couldn't be here. He had a something happen. So we'll get him on one of the next ones. So I did want to mention that because I did say he was going to be on it. Kyle Buck's one of my favorites. He's the one that used to host the open night in Anderson. That was really good. Kettle Top. That's where his mic was like, he'd have a meeting with all the comics before you started and go through the do's and don'ts and stuff like that. So I thought every open mic did that. And then I realized that that's not how it works at every open mic.
I've seen it at Helium and Ollie's are the only two. Ollie's has to have one after one tragic day. It wasn't really tragic, but just somebody said a lot of pedophile jokes or somebody said gay jokes. And it's like, this is a gay bar. If you're not part of the community, it's just a waste of time to like make a.
So if you're part of the community, you can't make a joke about it?
You can.
Okay.
But if you're not, then like. It's not going to be funny anyway, usually.
You just got to know where your home turf is.
Yeah. Like, take that shit to crackers.
No, I just... Take that shit to crackers. No, I just, like, if you're not part of the community, you still should be able to joke about it. I'm cute. Is that what you said? You shouldn't or should?
I have, like, the gay community.
So, like, I shouldn't make fun of gay people?
Probably not.
Why?
In certain crowds.
And it's also, like, in good
because
taste,
yeah,
too.
Oh, you mean
like,
in certain crowds.
So if you're at okay. Ollie's and you're just, like, gay this, gay that, people are just going to roll their eyes and not laugh at you. And usually, coming from a straight white guy with no homosexual experiences.
How do you know that, though?
You never know.
That's what I'm saying is, like, I know, I get it, but it's like, then people get up there and they'll make comments about, like, straight white men. I'm like, okay, that's okay to make fun of here, but then that's where I get frustrated.
Well, the country wasn't founded on openly gay men.
No, no.
The country's founded on these straight white dudes. They've ran the earth for, like, 200 years.
No, I get that. But what I'm saying is, like, you can't have one rule for one group and one rule for another. When I guess that's where I get frustrated at times.
I've always said, and I know I'm going to take flack for this, but they can take dick, they can take a joke. Come on. I've always said it. And I'm never
now, if you get up here and you're just, like, you're saying, like, you know, disrespectful or whatever. So, no, it came back to that old adage of, like, a rape joke. Like, you shouldn't tell a rape joke. Like, why? And it's just like, well, it's not funny. Like, someone can make it funny.
I think it has to be like, if you're in a gay bar, right? I know this example because the first time that I did an open mic ever was at Illusions, which is pretty much a black bar for the most part. And like my first 2-3 times there, I wasn't going to even touch race as a category or a joke because I just didn't know how that crowd was going to react. So it's like in good taste. After I had been there a couple times and people had warmed up to some of my humor, it felt like it was totally fine at that point. Like, and I've been borderline and it's funny as long as it's an educated joke. But if you're just gay bashing in a gay bar, nobody knows who you are. It's your first time there. Or maybe it isn't, but like,
oh yeah, we've seen that. That 100% agree with, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's basically the argument of what, like, that whole meeting is that they'll say it stems from, like, yeah. And I just ain't into that gay shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's, oh my God. Are hilarious.
Or you could be like some people we know that, you know, when they talk about a certain topic, it's just because they're glad their kid's that way, so they have something to talk about on stage.
I did a...
Sorry. It frustrates me when people like try to feed off their kids and try to like, you know, base it off that. That frustrates me a little bit.
What are you talking about?
So I feel like there's certain comics that like dive into a certain realm to like corner that market, and they're like, well, if I talk about like, you know, if my kids was like transgender, or if I'm super gay, or if I'm super militant, whatever it is, and like they do that angle just to get booked and just to try to be on a show. That's what I mean.
It's also kind of like a one wall, like there's an extra layer between you and being offensive at that point. Mm-hmm. It's almost a cop out, or it's like, okay, you're making a bunch of these jokes because your kid is, and it's kind of like, just because I have black friends doesn't mean that I can go around saying a bunch of shit. Like, it's kind of like I'm using my kid now to make all of my material at this point, and it does feel a little bit like a cop out to a certain degree, where it's like, you would just say it, even if you didn't have a kid that was like that. So just say the joke.
Yeah, and that's what the interesting part is. But recap the weekend: saw Nate perform on Friday, saw Morgan perform on Saturday. Ooh. They did both did great jobs on it. Both were fun shows. The food at Fat Dan's was really good. Saturday night, Seth had a great time.
Food was not good there.
That's all I could do. It was like, I was like, I bought food for the like.
I appreciate the.
I ate the wings the next day, and I was just like. I didn't eat it that night, and I ate the next day. I was just like, why did it just like, it was like wet paper just fell apart when I bit into it.
Yeah, it wasn't good hot either.
Well, I was confused just because I don't know what people eat. Like, what, you know, so I was like, well, I'll buy pizza and buy wings. I was like, that's really kind of what they have besides like the pretzels or whatever. But Terry, it was a good, fun show up there at
Colonial.
Terry helped put that on. It was a great show. And then, Ari did put on the show Friday night in Bloomington. That was a fun show too, and got to see a lot of, because I don't get to see a lot of people perform because I see them at the open mic, but I hadn't been to a lot of shows or been on with them. So they did a really good job. So that was a lot of fun.
Who was your favorite comic that you saw this weekend, non me and Nate edition? Because I know are your favorites.
I always enjoy seeing Sarah.
Yeah, about to say Sarah. She is funny.
Sarah's great. It's good seeing Jacob. Like
Kendall
be monotone the whole time and still do a really great job, and that, I mean,
serial killer of comedy.
Yeah. And then I mean, I always enjoyed Grant because Grant's dark, and then it was the funny,
so pale, how fun.
But he had abs though. He drew him on. It was pretty funny. And then anytime you get to see Asia perform, I always enjoy Asia performing. So I mean, like everybody was fun. Like everybody was funny. I didn't walk away. I was like, oof, that was rough. But no. There was one heckler in Bloomington, and that was about it.
Did they get taken care of, or were they just heckling the whole time?
He heckled me.
He didn't. He didn't heckle Nate. And then, well, he was always said something, like Sarah got after him, and then he said something to Grant's like, "Hey, that's funny." And Grant's like, "Yeah, I know. Fuck you." And then it was just split second he said it. So,
I saw a hell of a heckle at Helium this weekend while I was working. Andrew Rudick, I don't know how to say his last name.
Oh, he's hilarious. That's my guy. He's hilarious.
I was serving up there, and there was this like very aggressive whistler. He actually put it up on his Instagram already, but it was there was a very drunk table in the back, and someone in the audience may or may not have called her a whore, and he was like, oh, I wouldn't call her a whore, but probably is, because she like booed him for, he mentioned Taylor Swift and she booed him, and he's like, boo Taylor Swift? She's like, I don't like her. Well, why don't you like her? Because she's a baby. They're all just completely hammered, and mind you, they're probably older than BJ, and just belligerent brothers Kilroy's behavior at a classy establishment like Helium. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because John hosted there this weekend, right?
Yeah, and so it was very weird. I think one of my tables was like, she's like, I pray I don't run into her in the parking garage. I was like, girl, stop. And then afterwards, I saw her almost like fighting this woman. What? And the woman would come up to me and be like, I'm not a whore. I'm not a whore. I was a widow for 8 years. I'm not a whore. Like, listen, lady,
just because you're a widow doesn't mean you weren't fucking
like,
in those 8 years.
I know, like, I'm not his manager. I don't know why you're complaining to me. I work here. I'm a server. I'm not your server even. So like, go. They were just drunk and mindlessly like spinning around. So yeah, I'd recommend watching that video. Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, the guy IRL. So it was fall break at IU, but there's still students left there. And the guy that was heckling a little bit was looks like he came from money. His family may own some people at some point.
That's the same vibe from the people in the in the back there.
And then
in a fraternity.
Most likely, he was happy. He was happy to have something shoved up his orifice to join the fraternity. He kind of gave off that vibe.
It's just crazy.
He had nut hugger shorts on, like, and a dress shirt. And I'm like, when did this change? Like, I didn't get this memo. Like, when did this change?
Yeah, those guys like to be blindfolded.
That's why I never understood about fraternities. Is it? I'm not at all. So I'll say it's a gay as shit.
I rushed. I went to Ball State for 2 years, and I rushed my I rushed my freshman year.
Wings up.
And they didn't do anything gay, but they did at one point like blindfold you and take you down into the basement. And most people don't know, but there's three fraternities down on Frat Row for Ball State, and they all connect with tunnels underneath them. Mm-hmm. And it like gets real dark and spooky down there. They just like blew cigar smoke in our faces and then like made us recite like the pledge or whatever. And then we walked back upstairs. So I didn't have any of that happen. And then the next like 2 weeks, they were like, by the way, it's $750 a semester. And I was like, I'm not paying for friends, but this was a cool experience.
It's really the lamest thing when you think of it is that they love to like get you naked, get you drunk. All for what? For brotherhood. Like,
and it's really just a bunch of kids doing cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, that's what most of it was.
You can get coke from just work at a restaurant.
Yeah, true.
And you can get plenty of drugs
from
there.
You'll get paid to do cocaine at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, I experienced some of that in high school. I remember playing basketball, and then my freshman year I played JV or whatever as a freshman. And then so I was on the bus, and then I got called to the back of the bus while the bus was going, and they were all sitting naked and said, hey, why don't you come back here? And I was like, not it. I was like, and I went and talked to some other older people, and I was like, hey, is this like a thing, something that happens? And he was like, nah, that's some fucked up shit. He's like, what'd you do? I was like, I went and sat in front of the bus. He was like, so what they were doing? I was like, I don't know what they were doing, but they had no clothes on. And it was pitch black, and I'm not about to go back there. So, and then just some of the behavior in the locker room, as I told, like, I've told Nate some of the stories. It's like, nah, man, that's not normal locker room stuff. I didn't know.
Yeah.
My locker room seemed tame. It was like dudes slapping each other with towels.
Oh, we had that. We had that.
Like, but that was the worst, I think, it got.
But they would comment on like, your penises when you walk by and stuff like that. They'd be like, oh, man, you don't got that much hair down here, do you?
6 out of 10.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you got some curvature. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
I wish a motherfucker would. It was never like that in
four stars
room. I don't remember no shit like that. Like,
yeah, but you gotta remember,
would look at again.
I'm not doing no penis size.
You gotta remember being 14 years old in there with 18 year olds that can murder you in a second. I'm not exactly, you know, a tough guy at that point in time in my life where I can be like, hey, man, don't say that, because I was afraid if they're willing to do that, what else? Are they going to hold me down?
Mm-hmm. Hold you down and give you that business, BJ.
Yeah, and I'm sure like high school in the 80s were very bully.
Wow. Yeah.
The 80s?
I've seen the John Hughes films. I know what you had to experience. Sorry, am I too off? Is it with the 1990s?
Do you want me to get...
I know it was the 1900s.
Here, we got this book over here. You can maybe write some new stuff. Is that my age? You want it here? You want a pen too?
It's his yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have yearbooks.
Those didn't exist yet.
No, we didn't. No. We had to stand in front of the, you know, and then it flashed.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. The Letterman jacket was just a knit sweater from mom.
It was made out of wool. We had one guy make it. That was it. It was 94 that I went to high school.
That's when you graduated?
98 is when I graduated.
Oh, okay. So you were.
That's when I graduated to the big girl potty.
That's right. Well, I just hope I'm alive when you guys get to my age, and I hope we can compare success one day, and then I'll feel better.
All right, fair.
So that way we can go that route. And that was pretty petty, but it's just like Friday night got picked on for my age, Saturday a little bit, so it's like a reoccurring theme.
So it must be tough being a comedian, having people make fun of you.
I think I'm 43. I turned 44 in March. So it's either going to be 44 or 45, or I'm just done with all of it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be like 46 and be like, oh, yeah, I'm here for an open mic. I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah. So are you doing like a hard push to see if you can?
No.
Okay. Because it seems like you're getting way more like back into stuff.
I know. Every time I get back into it, then like something just makes me realize why I don't want to do it.
Oh.
It's just a lot of it has to do with I can't get past like certain things that people do that like I need to let go, but I can't let go. So, and that's why I'm weirdo like that.
I think you'd make a good manager.
I was going to say.
You are really funny. Like you are a good comic.
And you're a good people person that's good at connecting people. Like you'd probably be a good agent for people and getting them booked. Yeah. And then also just running a club from top to bottom. Like it feels like you know a lot of different stuff.
But no, I appreciate that. But it's like the fact of the matter is now where I'm at with my job is president of a company. I don't have to deal with a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But I don't have to worry about people being on time. I don't have to worry about if people are clocked in and out or none. I don't have to. All that's gone now.
Right.
And going back into that would drive me insane.
Yeah.
Like, why are you late? And then they'll be like, oh, it's no big deal. And I'm just like, that's when I lose my shit.
In your everyday life, you've got other people that handle the little shit all day that you don't have to deal with. So.
And that's nice.
Yeah.
But that's things I got to get over, but I can't get over. Because I talked to my best friend who I started my original podcast with, and he switched jobs to something different, kind of like I did, and it took him a year to like change his mindset on how things work.
Gotcha.
So I've only been doing it less than 90 days, like go from retail into a totally different business.
Gotcha.
But no, I mean, I enjoy being here. I enjoy our open mic. I enjoy the podcast. And then, but like even this weekend going to see a show Friday and Saturday is something you've been around me for a while. So is Nate. I would never go do. I'd never leave my house, but it was fun to go see those guys because Morgan killed it hosting. And it's fun to watch these guys grow and do. I like going to support people more than I wasn't there on the show. I was like, oh man, I wish I was up there. I was like, oh my God, these guys are doing great.
Remember my first open mic to now?
Yeah.
Not my first open mic, but my first one that y'all saw me at, Chicken and Chuckles.
Yeah. And it was awesome to watch Nate pivot on Friday. Like, it was like, I'm going to get away from this and then switch to something else. And I was like, holy shit, just watch it. It was instant. Like, I saw it, but like the crowd didn't see it. I was like, oh, that was really cool to watch.
So that was.
Switch. You got to, man.
I went.
Go ahead.
My fault. I was just going to say, like, watching comedy with comedians is so much more fun than sitting there and watching it with people who don't understand it. Like, the thing you just said, where, like, you watch Nate completely transition and you saw it, but, like, not everybody else notices it. I went and watched Chappelle with my buddy who likes comedy and watches comedians, but he was five beers drunk and went, Dave Chappelle was really funny. Like, I needed somebody there that, like, has gone through it and, like, been like, dude, did you see when he, you know, and you're just putting out transitions and callbacks and all this great stuff that people that don't, like, when you're just showing up to laugh, I appreciate that, but I want to watch comedy with somebody else who gets it, too, if that makes sense.
And then I don't drink or use drugs, so I'm sober the whole time.
Okay.
And that's weird.
Look at it in a different instance.
Like. Yeah, and you can hear my laugh, like, it is, But I like the Fat Dan's a little bit because we were up on where the bar is, but you can look down and watch them, and I really enjoyed that one. So Ari put on a good show, nice and smooth and things like that. But then I saw the heckler get the Grant a little bit, and you can see it threw him off for like the next like six, seven minutes.
Mm-hmm. Man, Grant was crushing so fucking hard, though, bro.
I love Grant. Grant's dark as fuck. I like so all those dark. Guys. I only not met the one person. I can't even think of his name.
You the first one, the first comedian that went up. He was pretty funny too.
Yeah, he was at Helium. And he's funniest. He does the Byrider joke or what? I can't.
That joke is fucking hilarious too. How he works at JD Byrider, but works at a car dealership, and he switches.
He's like, he goes, yeah. If you want to come see me, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, unless you have bad credit, I'll be at JD Byrider Tuesday and Thursday. So it's like that's fucking.
It was fucking.
Was it hilarious. Evan?
I think yeah. Yeah. I seen this joke on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I didn't follow him, but I seen it on TikTok, and then I actually heard him say it. I'm like, that's who it is. That joke was hilarious when he posted it on TikTok.
I have a question. It's been a topic in my relationship. Reels and TikToks. What are your opinions on posting as a youngish comic?
What do you mean?
Like, so I've heard some more veteran comics say, oh, you can't post a reel unless you're ready to, like, throw that joke out. some people say, no, you need to like keep posting content, keep posting, get out there. Nah. And then some people are like, you just need to focus on what you're doing right now more than what you're focusing on social media.
Well, I see. But I mean, Nate's cousin's a great example. He never posts his jokes. He just posts his crowd work, yep. which is fucking murderous, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with, what's his name? Matt Rife just posted crowd work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also, how long have they been doing it?
Yeah, cousin's over 18.
Plus. Yeah, but what I'm saying is his cousin did not take off on TikTok until he did his crowd work. He had no following on TikTok, and he blew up to millions, right? I know he's been around for a while, but if you're talking about not throwing away a joke, I guess that's one way to look at it.
I'm about to say, his joke's been reposted on numerous web like sites, and you know what I'm saying? So I think for him, it's just a different cadence. Like, he can, if you watch my cousin's show, I knew of probably like two or three jokes that he used like that he mixed in when he didn't feel like the crowd was really rocking with the crowd work, got him back on his side, then went right back to the crowd work. So it's an art to it. Like, I don't know, it's just the way you were able to placate to a crowd. That's the difference between like some of the vets and then someone that's new that I've seen, like, it's a lot of comedians that are like funny. They got like a good funny start. But then when you see them like get pushed too fast, you'll notice, like, if they headline and someone goes up before them that's really funny, and then they really can't follow that shit. Like, I see that a lot. And like I said, that's just due to not having the experience of dealing with crowds.
Yep.
Versus someone who's been doing it for a long time, they might use the same jokes here and there that you might see it on TikTok or Facebook. The thing is, those people that see it live don't know those jokes. So it's good to use those jokes.
And, well, I guess Sarah, that 1% joke blew up. She still uses
that one.
And then the other joke that blew up had millions of views, and she still uses it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that logic, it's kind of like, you know, you do a special and then you'll still see some of the jokes from the specials and stuff. I'm like, whatever.
I think it depends on your following, though.
I think, but like I'm saying, like larger comedians, my biggest, I guess, not qualm with this, but the, like with younger comics, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, they don't have much crowd work to post. They don't have a big following.
Yeah, okay.
So what I'm asking is, like, okay. Should they post clips consistently?
Yeah.
Well, hang on.
Also, like, to what, like a few hundred people to like 1,000 people? Like, you're not going to get traction. You're not going to blow up. You're not like ready to blow up. Should you just like use your video content as a guide, like you're watching the tapes, and not so much focus more on your joke writing and your presence, so that when you are a stronger comic, you can post that shit and it can go off as you build your following. I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then I have another to add to that. So think about it, though. Think if you're a smaller comic and you're posting stuff, and then let's just say, you know, social media or whatever. It's like, so you have X amount of followers, and two or three people see it, and it's a good clip, and then they pay to come see you, and then you're not ready. That's the other thing, is shouldn't you be ready if it does lead to people come to your show?
Can I just tap in real quick?
Because
I'm like brand new, so I've only been doing it for 10 months now total. I haven't posted anything like of my stuff.
You don't accept most friend requests either, but go on.
I'm terrible about it, and I keep everything private.
None.
But the only thing I've ever posted about doing comedy was when I did the first show that I was in with Aisha and Mike. So I, like, most people didn't even know that I was doing it, unless it was just like friends that were talking to me about what I was up to hobby wise. So like, I get what you're saying, which is like, first, the answer is yes, you should just be focusing on your stuff and making it as good as you can, and not worry about your following until you're, you know, I'm assuming years in, but I don't know. You know, it's all new. But also, the thing with social media is, like, it feels like now in today's world, there's two avenues to get to the same point, which is like, you can go really, really fast. But the reason they post crowd work is because you got to pay to actually see their jokes.
Jokes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, for the social media, like for you, like doing a bunch of reels and clipping them up, I would maybe go, like, I just finished my first ever real 10 minutes and did that opening for Aisha. And now I'm working on my new 10 minutes to hopefully get to 20 minutes total. but I'm not going to post any of that 10-minute stuff until I have my new 10 minutes that I'm going out there and doing, so that if somebody wanted to show up, they're not going to just see my old stuff. And then also, it's a numbers game on social media. So if you get 10,000 views on a joke, odds are out of those 10,000 people that see it, there's maybe 5 or 6 people that will ever actually be in person to see you.
Exactly.
Yep. So you're not really repeating jokes, because there's another 9,995 people who will never see you in person.
Because, well, I did the TikTok analytics on one of the videos. Nate's video went up to like 7,000 people watched it. And 52% were Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
No, and Indianapolis wasn't even in the top five.
Even
though I posted Indianapolis in the location before I posted it, right?
I think there's like a great way to like utilize social media. I'd be a bad communicator to not acknowledge that. But I feel, and it's a good way to like get your reach out there, obviously, like get people in Houston watching. But I think like, to be so focused as to posting stuff. I've got friends that will like, hey, here's my 5 minutes from this open mic. And I'm like, no, stop sharing that.
Right.
You want people to think you're funny. Also, no one's going to watch your full 5 minutes from your open mic. I've done some reels and they don't do super well, but I feel like some comics, younger comics with much smaller followers are watching comics with much larger followings do really well on social media and kind of be like, I wonder why this isn't working.
And that's a great point, because they're trying to put the cart in front of the horse. And I was like, man, that's an old man saying. But they're trying to put the cart in front of the horse, right? And I'm not here to judge. If someone wants to talk about podcasting, I can tell you how to be successful, right? Comedy, no, I can't tell you how to be successful. But in the podcasting aspect of it, we made sure that we had the sound right, we had the right, we had the right equipment, we had the right postings, we had the right, like, we took a class on social media on how to use hashtags properly, how to get sponsors. Like, we put in all this work for like a while, and then we started seeing success. But what a lot of people do is in podcasting, they'll do like 3 episodes and like, hey, no one's listening to it. Like,
right.
It's a fucking grind. You have to build up to it. And then that's why we didn't do live videos until we almost got a year in. That way we were comfortable with the format, and then we grew into it so organically. But people just want to be influencers, I think, instead of actually being comedians.
Or hard workers. Sometimes it's just a lot easier to get your views and feel better about it than actually having to go out and repeat the jokes multiple times to make them work.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing is I boosted one of the videos to see what it'd do. Then I posted another video to see if it the followers and the views would transition into the next video, and it didn't. So it's like, so the algorithm basically is the more money you're able to pay a site, the more views and stuff you're going to get, but it doesn't transition into bringing it back to where you want it. That's what I did all weekend. I played with the algorithms, look at the analytics and see how it worked. And then,
so it's not worth boosting is what you're saying?
It is, but in order to boost it, you have to be willing to make an investment.
Gotcha.
So I spent like $65, which is not a lot of money or whatever when it comes to the grand scheme of it. But that was like the minimum to boost that in the followers, like $65.
And like a young comedian doesn't have just like an extra $65 laying around to be able to boost it unless you've got some really solid job, you know?
And
most of them probably don't.
One thing I liked about TikTok though is when you boost it actually comes off your Apple account. You don't have to put in a credit card into fucking TikTok. Because I was like, oh, I hope it doesn't ask for a card. That made me nervous.
China has your credit card information anyway, BJ.
I know, probably. But over the weekend, I was working on some. We have a new segment we want to try out. This is for you, Clint.
Okay.
I'm
excited.
This is called What Did Nate Say? And I actually have intro music for this that I worked on over the weekend.
Ooh.
All right. Let's see how long before Nate gets mad.
What'd he say? No!
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 What?
This is music.
It's an intro.
Are you serious?
It's a good clip up.
Yeah, so I did that one.
That man's the audio man.
So I'm going to give you 3 statements, and you're going to tell me which one Nate actually said.
Got it.
And Morgan and Nate, you can add answer. All right, number 1. Doesn't matter to me, I've never voted.
Okay.
That's number 1.
Never said that. Oh, whoops.
Nate, are you not listening to how this game goes?
No,
he's not listening to this entire podcast.
I am, man. I am. Danny ain't here, so we can't clip shit up. So
number two. Man, I haven't slept with a white woman in a very long time.
Mm. All right.
Number three is, I don't know, I'm still waiting on the DNA results.
I can tell you that one.
All right, so DNA or having slept
basically,
with a white woman.
So it's basically two or three. Gotcha. Because you said the first one wasn't.
Okay. I'm going to go with Nate. Nate's married. So
No, Nate's not married.
Oh, all right. Then I'm going to go with DNA, number three.
So you think Nate said still waiting on DNA results?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
No. On Friday, on the way to Bloomington.
That's what I'm saying. I knew which one. I know which one it is.
Because we were having a serious talk about where we want to be at in a few years. And Nate stops randomly and looks at me and goes, man, I haven't slept with a white woman in a while.
In a minute, dog.
And it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
In a minute.
Because I thought he was like trying to break up the monotony of like, hey, we need to get our shit together. No, he was dead serious.
In a minute, dog.
So that is a new segment. And trust me, I can come up with a bunch of stuff. What did Nate say? Because it is priceless. So,
do we do the outro with the cut up too?
No.
Okay.
No, they're no.
Well, I thought it was a good intro to it.
I appreciate that one because I was sitting there trying, usually go to YouTube and try to type in stuff or whatever to say. But the harder one was like, we have viewer questions. We're going to do them this week or whatever, but trying to find something audio wise to put together for viewer questions. And I spent 2 hours and couldn't find it.
Okay.
I spent this weekend going through 45s too.
Okay.
So that was my weekend.
I need to complain. I need to file a complaint to HR.
Sure.
I'm your HR. So, okay. Nate posted on Facebook. He's looking for recommendations. Need a good graphic designer that makes great flyers. Cash ready. Need quick turnaround. What
Everybody.
The fuck, bro?
What do you mean?
I'm right here.
Yeah, you are.
Also,
here.
Just use Canva.
Yeah, but I like to, okay, so my graphic designer that I literally use all the time for any like comedy show flyers, he's in jail. So ever since he's been in jail, I've been trying to.
That would be great. What did they say?
He's in jail. So, and like, it's crazy how he's in jail because, like, I literally, like, he literally made me a flyer right before he went to jail. So he sent it to me. And then I was like, asked him, like, hey, I need you to fix this. You spelled something wrong. And I'm like, why the fuck you ain't responding to me? So, like, I called him and his girl picked up, like, yeah, he's in jail. I don't know when he's coming back, but I'm sure it's something about a flyer. I'm like, yeah. She's like, what do you need? Because I can edit. I was like, oh, yeah, just edit my shit real quick.
But Morgan, real fast, so AP came over, saw the new logo, and he's done all the other logos for everything. He's like, man, that is phenomenal. That is awesome.
Cool. I guess Nate doesn't care.
Hey, that's what he gets.
He doesn't like it.
All right, can you make a – we could talk about this off.
He was making a flyer on the car ride down to Bloomington. And if you rode in a car with me, which you haven't yet, Morgan, I don't know how he did it. Because I did.
Like, I got it. Okay, so this is what I was making with him because, like, the girl that got back with me that did my video at Helium that was doing my cousin's video, mm-hmm. She got back with me and sent me the flyer. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to make my – I'm done working on it. So she sent it to me, and she used Flyer Maker because the templates are already mm-hmm. – I know Flyer Maker.
Yeah.
So she used one of those templates from Flyer Maker, and all she did was just plug in the pictures wanting 50 fucking bucks. So I'm trying to, like – I'm like, you know what? This is what I get for asking motherfuckers for shit. When I know I can do it myself. But, I mean, if you wanna make something, I'll be. Matter of fact, yes, I'm going to have you make me something.
Thank you.
So Quinn and
you heard it here first.
And Morgan.
Heard it here first.
Yeah, I got a question for you. So if someone gives you this hand signal, what do you think that means? I know the audience can see it, but this is for the people in here. What if someone does this?
Just a little bit?
Okay.
Like. Okay.
No, there was no verbal. It was just this. Morgan?
Drinking.
Yeah, maybe I need a drink, I was going to say.
Yeah, can I get a drink? Usually that's the universal...
This is drinking to me. Like,
this is it. This is what I was doing.
That's just like hang 10.
No, you were doing this.
Nah, I was like this.
Anyway.
I was going to you like...
Well, anyways, so that was Nate's signal for, can I bring my gun?
I was like this.
No, don't even.
No, that looks like a trigger.
No, that's what I did. I was like, bro. And he was like, you can't see. First of all, it was dark outside. You couldn't see my
I have 20/20 vision, by the way.
It's bullshit.
Ooh.
I do have
prove it right
vision.
Now.
Prove it.
Let's get it.
I just used my free. I just did my free optometrist test.
Hey, Mark, you know what the crazy thing is that you said that? So literally when I went outside, somebody called me, asked me, hey, you still need a flyer? I'm like, what the fuck? How did you get my number? Oh, yeah, Facebook. So I'm about to hurry up and delete that post because this shit is scaring me. I got like 100,000 people hit me up right now.
Everybody's a designer.
Everyone.
And then when you see
designer.
It, you end up on bad comedy flyers.
Yep.
Quinn, you said earlier to me in a text, so you actually help on a podcast produce it? Are you on one?
Yeah, I help my buddies. It's called the Missing Piece Podcast. Mm-hmm. So back in high school, I did a lot of work with like the Unified Track and Special Needs. And
see, when you first sent that text, I didn't know if it was sarcastic. Like you're.
Oh.
And so
no,
I
no,
and
no.
I didn't really text back like, okay, because I was at first like, okay, maybe he's being a smart ass.
No, not being a smart ass. No, they're good dudes. One of them was the basketball manager for the high school team. So and then just lived in a neighborhood right next to us. So like he'd come over and hang out with us and we play like basketball and football and stuff at the park with him. So I've just always stayed connected with him and he's a sports genius. I get wrecked on the podcast every time we do it because they're computers. Like they just spit facts out and they're never wrong about anything. And I go in there with just like an opinion and help them move the conversation along and they nerd out and I have no rebuttal for anything. Like anytime I have an opinion, they just prove me wrong with a bunch of stats, the whole podcast.
And then what day does that come out on?
So Christian's the one that does the editing because I taught him how to do it. So it's taken about a week after we do something. It takes him about a week to get it all done and post it on his Facebook. It's like 10 followers maybe. It's something fun that they do that they wanted me to get involved with and help them. Because I do the Nick and Brady Show podcast, which is the one that I actually produce, which is a sports podcast. So I've got that one with my two buddies that we did high school basketball together. And then I help out Christian and Mitch, who are the two basketball managers.
Where'd you grow up at?
Noblesville.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and you said that bus thing about your high school basketball mm-hmm. team. My junior year, Carmel got in trouble for...
The finger in the butthole.
Finger in the butthole on the back of the bus.
And that also, oh, that was there!
Yeah. No. Well, it was, but that just happened last year down south, too. Same
did
thing.
It again. Yep. See, so maybe you're not... Your team wasn't the only one that does it. My team just never did.
White kids, man.
Well, the other thing was that our student section the next year... got a bunch of foam fingers and spray painted them brown on the tip of the fingers so that when the team football team pulled up on the bus, we were just all standing out of the windows pointing at them, and we got our asses kicked like 42-0 that game.
You had that moment.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, our signs in our games and, you know, in 79 when I played was Shogun is the master off the last dragon. Like, we had fun stuff, and you're bringing up trauma.
No, dude, we would, like, our student section was vicious. We would look up who was dating who on the other team,
Jesus.
And, like, we'd start saying the girlfriend's name and be like, Morgan's cheating, like, just to get in his head where he's shooting free throws. Like, also, we did the 1-2-3-4 first down bitch, and our administrator got mad at us for doing that, and his name was Mr. McCaffrey. So we were like, what do you want us to change it to? And then I came up with the idea to go 1-2-3-4 first down McCaffrey. So we, and he was like, that's fine. At least you're not saying bitch in front of the parents. So our entire student section called our admin a bitch every time we got a first down. It was great.
Yeah, that a lot of those kids are going to end up doing a Ponzi scheme to somebody.
Definitely. Definitely. And then their dad will be a lawyer that gets them out of it. So
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you and how did you meet Nate? Was it up there at Illusions?
Yeah, Illusions is how I got started. So I do you guys know Jacob Kendall?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Said earlier.
So that's my best friend from high school. That's his cousin, and
okay.
He was a couple years younger than us.
Mr. Smallmouth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
He's tight lipped,
small mouth. Yeah. So he said, I'm doing an open mic. I've always just been really into comedy, but just watching it. And I was always like, I should go try that one time just to see what it's like. So I went and watched him and then met everybody through Mike and Aisha's open mic.
Nate didn't yell my cousins for once.
It's my cousin.
There it is. And that's great. And then you've been in Chicken and Chuckles. And then you do look like a young Republican, though.
I grew up in Noblesville, so it's pretty much all young Republicans out there. But I voted I voted for Joe Jorgensen, if that makes a difference. And you guys probably don't even know who that is, but I'm as down the middle as it gets, I think. I think. You know, I don't know.
Down the middle.
I'm looking at Morgan's face when you said that. She's like, no, you're not.
Why
face,
not?
The face tells it all. Why her not? Face lit up. She's like.
I mean, if we want
to. My face tells stories. I don't even know what's telling me. Honestly.
Well, here, let's play a game. Ask me a political question. I'll tell you what my stance is real quick.
Oh, well, shit. I had to think of who Joe Jorgensen was. And it's that old lady, right?
She was the Libertarian.
Well, yeah, old lady. Like she's brother. The young lady yeah, on brother, the.
I refuse to vote for a party because I think both parties are
God
absolutely
damn, you
ridiculous.
Damn, sound like my brother, man.
It's stupid.
Like, I don't vote for parties. Like, I voted for Mitch Daniels because of how well
yep.
we were doing as yep. a state with the surplus, the roads, and then the taxes and the property taxes. And then, so, but then again, I might vote for Democrat. It all depends on, you know.
Yeah, like I'm pro-choice by a lot, long shot. But then as far as like economically things go, I probably lean a little bit more Republican just because I feel like it's better business for the small businessman, I guess. And my dad owns his own company. So you get better tax write-offs when the Republicans are in office.
Look at that man. Look at how you talk. Look how he's talking.
Yeah, he's going to run for office.
You and know he is.
So don't do clip post any clips. Keep everything private.
That's why Danny ain't here.
I could never do politics. I fucked around too much in high school. People got too much, like, just, I saw him do
I
dumb
think,
shit.
I think the worse stuff that you do, the better you
now,
do.
Now, yeah, it seems
yeah,
like
so,
it.
You mean like getting someone off yeah. in Beetlejuice? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you can do whatever the fuck you want, and the worse it is, the better your odds.
Okay.
And you kind of have a Ted Cruz face.
Oh, no.
I was going to say that. Yeah, Teddy.
Resting Ted Cruz face.
I'm anti-gun. That's about as anti-Republican as it gets.
God damn.
I don't like guns.
Like guns.
I don't know. It's just not my thing. My dad owns a gun. I've shot guns. I just don't like them.
I believe in the Second Amendment, but I believe in... like you have to, I believe you have to have a license to fly a plane, drive a car, and all this other stuff. But it's like, here's a gun. How about it? Like, can we do make sure they're competent enough?
I just think there's a lot of focus on the Second Amendment. We need to think about the Third, the Fourth.
That's what I saw the guy that did a joke like that.
He's the
like,
Third, I think is like boarding. Military men. Someone did a joke about it. It was so fucking funny.
That yeah, he went through. Like he's a, like. I'll care about the Second Amendment when you guys start caring about like the Ninth. And he's like, "What's the Ninth?" And they were like, "We don't know what the Ninth is." Yeah. And then he explains it. It was like fucking brilliant.
Oh, hers was I'm a staunch supporter of the Third Amendment and something along the lines of like, "Let them soldiers and sailors into my home, please." But it's funny now that I think about it. I'm gonna look up the Bill of Rights because that's where we got in this podcast.
Yeah.
What is the Ninth Amendment?
But we're political when it justifies at times our personal needs, right?
Yeah.
Like when I started making more money, and then I was like, fuck these. Why am I getting taxed so high?
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, and then I saw how much was coming out of my bonus checks, and I was like, so don't be successful.
Right.
Stay at 35,000 and below.
That's right. It's fucked up.
I think as you move up in tax bracket, the people you vote for changes consistently. Because it does feel like, too... The lower your tax bracket is, the more federal government you need is what it sounds like. Like people who vote for that don't have enough, they will end up voting for someone who promises them a bunch of things. I mean, I feel like a lot of times as you move up in the tax bracket, you go, yeah, well, where's that shit coming from? Like who's giving it to them?
Yeah.
Because it's me. you know, it's my taxes.
Yep. Yep. It's I call it the food analogy, right? Just. So I have to give them food. Like, I paid for it.
Right, yeah.
That's how I am in my everyday life.
I looked up the Ninth Amendment, and please help me out here. What the fuck does this mean? It's rights retained by the people, okay? The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Any James Madison heads
so
translate that for me?
So you can't take away someone else's rights?
Is that what it is?
I believe. Can you read it one more time?
The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. I guess it's to...
I feel like I'm going to spell it. Can you put it in a sentence that I understand? No, I don't know what enumeration means, and that might just be me being really dumb.
Yeah, I don't know what construed to deny or despair. It's just a lot of like circle talking.
But what was the name of it though in the beginning?
It's rights retained by the people. I feel like it's maybe like you can't take away the rights that we just like of the 10 rights we just gave you, you can't take them away.
So I looked it up. What is the Ninth Amendment in simple terms for kids? The government cannot take away rights of the American people that are not specifically listed in the U.S. Constitution.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that was if other people from other places start moving in and becoming Americans too, they count. You don't just have to be listed on the Constitution.
I don't think that was until the 50s. They started 60s. They started counting that one.
Yeah, because it took a while because they were like, they had some loopholes when they were like, oh, we don't have to give blacks rights. They're not people fully until Amendment number 13 came around.
I think it's
13.
Considered a third a person? Wasn't for the longest time a third person?
14th Amendment. I know nothing.
3/5,
15th Amendment? 13th through the 15th are all about
black people. Here's the thing that makes me laugh is they're like, you know how Morgan busts my balls for my age or whatever, which is fine. But the funny part is it's like, oh, that older generation, what do they know? But then you talk to certain people and they're like, oh, our founding fathers knew what was right. It's like, you just told me that, you know, that generation is dumb, right? So it's only they're only good when we need them to be good.
Right, yeah. They were super logical when they agree with us.
Yeah, they're super logical and like, no, our founding fathers knew what was right. And I was like, okay. And then it's like, at other times, like, no, they didn't know what they were doing. I was like, yeah, they did. They knew what they were doing. They were trying to keep all their stuff. I mean, what's the main thing everybody tries to do is you try to keep your own shit and make sure no one takes it away. But our world is not, our country is not a terrible place, though. I mean, we're sitting in a room.
It's a lot better than some of the other crap going on, so.
Yeah, that's why I love Indiana. They're like, why don't you move somewhere else? I was like, they'll probably bomb those places first if something happens. Like, we'll at least get a day.
I lived everywhere west of Iowa for at least 3 to 4 months at a time, every state, and Indiana's by far the best place in the world. Like, it's in the middle of nowhere. The people are slower. Everything's cheaper. Like,
slower.
I'm telling you, they are. They're slower and nicer.
Have you been to Hazard County?
I used to know the Ninth Amendment, and then I moved to Indiana.
That's because it's in the water. Like, there's literally where I'm going tomorrow, there's a joke that says, don't drink the water. And I was like, oh, I know, because, like, it's 8,900 people are in this town.
Mm-hmm.
It's next to a bigger town or whatever.
Benton Harbor.
It's Princeton, that's next to Evansville. There's 8,900 people there, and they're my league leaders in failed drug tests.
There's a town down south over by Evansville that had an AIDS outbreak because someone was taking needles and had AIDS and was using the syringe in fruit in the Walmart, and then people were going and purchasing it and eating it, and they had an AIDS outbreak around the entire town. And I used to do door-to-door, and we like were there for 4 or 5 doors, and I was like, everyone here seems like sick. Like, what's going on? And then there was one really nice like 2020 Jeep Wrangler, or it had to have been like 2018 brand new Jeep Wrangler, and a nice house out in the middle of like all this crap. So I go up to that one, knock on it, and she's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't know. This is just where my boss put me for the day. And she's like, dude, there's like an AIDS outbreak. Like, you need to get out of here. Like, don't be here. I was like, okay, I'm not coming back. And I need to look up the town.
She was like, on the way out, here's some fruit.
Yeah, oh yeah, here's an apple.
I wonder if that's really the reason of the AIDS outbreak, or if that's just the cover. So,
so that some the people, government.
Yeah. Or no, just so some guy who really was out here piping throughout the town.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of housewives that are like, we're busted or we got to come up with a crazy story.
It's the fruit.
Blaming on the gays and the fruit.
Yeah.
Ah, that's it, fruit, right? We got it. All right, Nate.
Took our fruit.
All right, Nate, it's time for
Shameless plug. Play that beat. You didn't even do the signal or nothing. Yeah.
Because you're down on your phone. I had to say it on the microphone.
Yeah, you should have just texted him.
Peripherals was going off. All right, this is the Shameless plug time. Morgan, sing the Shameless plug song.
We need to do one. I can come up with this weekend and send
shameless,
it to you.
Shameless, it's a shameless plug.
Hey.
Don't you go yet, it's a shameless plug. What I don't care if you're a person or a bug. Come to our shows. Check us out on socials. It's a shameless plug. The shameless plug. Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Thank you so much, Miss Morgan.
I'm going to cut that out and we'll
I like that, though. I like that. I like that. All right, Quinn, man. So it's a shameless plug time, pretty much, man. Let us know where you're going to be. Tell us your social media. Tell us how to find you.
Next open mic is with you guys at Chicken and Chuckles at Wonderful Bar and Grill. You can find me on social media. I don't post any of my actual comedy. That'll probably be later, but it's Quinn Schlegel 1 on Instagram. And then I have a show coming up on either the 11th or the 13th. 11th?
Yep, 11th.
At Wonderful Bar and Grill again. Yeah, I'm thinking we'll have about 40, 50 people. So.
Oh, we're going to have more than that.
Cool. Should be good. Come out. Come see me.
Hopefully.
What is it?
The 11th.
Of November?
I think. Hold on. Damn. I might
Veterans Day. 11-11, make a wish.
Now that you said that, I should probably make a couple jokes about Veterans Day. I'll start working on that.
11-11.
The I don't have anything except for Chicken Chuckles coming up. But I did, my shameless plug, I did get to spend time with John this weekend. So
There it is.
I spent more time with John than I have with Morgan, like non-podcasting. So
what
it was
did
exciting.
John
do? I can't tell you what we did. We all watched Ohio State Purdue.
I was at that game. It was miserable. It was 33-0 at the start of the third quarter.
Hell yeah.
And I was with my very old grandpa who has a hard time with stairs. And I was like, dude, let's get the hell out of here.
Well, I was asking him, I said, you'd be a college football fan? He's like, no, I'm just watching Ohio State. And I was like, I wonder why you're watching Ohio State now, John.
She got an influence.
It's okay. I pretend to care about the Bears.
Cool. It's hard to even do that.
Yeah, I gave him a brownie. Steph went and got some coffee for us. It was a good old day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad. It's nice to have a...
It was nice. The first hour we chopped it up, and after that it was to the point like, hey, you got something to do. Do what you need to do, and I did. So it was nice to have awkward silence. That's when you know when you get along with somebody, because like, you don't have to sit here and keep forcing a conversation.
Yep.
So that was nice.
Uh-oh.
Morgan, what do you have going on?
I have tomorrow. I'll be at the White Rabbit.
Chia.
Doing the Ghost Tales, Rabbit Tales, Ghost Story Edition. You can hear about how I was haunted by my great grandmother. I need to come up with a story on that because it's
which
really
side of the family?
Super. The white side.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think
side.
I know of the black. Oh, I'm kidding, actually, I can only go back to great grandparents on that side.
The Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah.
You can play around with that, though.
Mayflower.
Oh, Betty Bulen. We could go back really far, even on my like grandpa that I never met or knew. I'm a grand bastard.
Mm.
So I don't know his roots, but I found him on Ancestry, and I could go all the way back to like the 1500s. Granted, that's probably not true, but... So yeah, White Rabbit. Hear about my ghost tales with my great-grandma when I was in Savannah. And then I'll be in Cincinnati at El Barril. Blake Hammond's headlining that one, so that's going to be a fun show. And hopefully I get some of my Ohio friends out. But that's this week. Next week I'll be in Cicero on the 25th.
Nathaniel?
Cicero, Indiana, Cicero?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. I didn't know there was a spot over there.
It's the Hideout, I think. Max Wampler puts on that.
Okay, cool.
Nice. I heard that room's pretty fun, too. Next room. Where am I? I was I did Hobby Wobbies yesterday. It was pretty fun. It was cool. It's fucked up though, because I sat there and watched everybody else, and then I get up and like everybody just walks out. I'm like, oh, you racist fuckers! And then as soon as I got a big laugh, then here they all come in here. I'm like, oh, I didn't think I was funny. So yeah, that was cool. Shout out to Eric Hooks for put me on. I am at Summit this weekend. I'm doing Friday. Then we have a separate show. My guy Cam Snacks. He rented it out. He's doing one on the 22nd. And then so I'll be there this weekend. And then where else am I at? I don't know. I'm just gonna promote that one. But Chicken and Chuckles each and every Thursday. Me and B Jizzle. Morgan came and crushed last week, so we got Quinn and DC3 this week. So
good. Did he get back to you?
No, never did.
He didn't?
Never did.
All right, then I'll make sure, because he didn't text me back either, so I'll make sure
I found a picture.
Who's DC3?
You know DC3.
David.
The real tall one with the short shorts. You don't remember we wore the short shorts at one time?
No, I don't look at people's.
How do you know? How do you not look? I notice his boots. So you're saying you don't look at people's boots?
He's
I
mean, real. Timbo's. He's real soft spoken. His delivery's pretty dry.
I knew as soon as you said that. I always when you say DC3, I keep thinking like Daniel Cormier off the top of my head.
Oh yeah, I got you.
No, yeah, that's what I told him last week. He's like, hey, one of my favorite comedians. He's like, I'm one of your favorites. Like, dude, you're funny. Like he always comes to the show.
He just monotone is I don't know what. Mm-hmm. But
I love it.
He's funny. He's funny.
I like him.
I like so his delivery because I see him. Him and I both started at the same time, so we're pretty good buddies. And the thing that I think he does the best is he goes, "So you know, I was thinking," and he starts every single joke with, "So you know, I was thinking." It's the best. It's so funny.
Make sure Fresh and Clean on Facebook, Instagram. I've been following the chart you sent out, Morgan. And then TikTok. It's actually under me, but at BJ Robbins on TikTok. I'm posting our reels. Nate's blew up with almost 8,000. Morgan, I just posted one with you on there. So
I didn't get not one follow off that damn video.
Off the ones I posted, I ran 250, something like that.
You didn't went up like a motherfucker off that one.
I'm gonna keep working on it. I'm gonna keep investing.
You gonna
keep
paying $30?
It's either that or going to McDonald's spend $30. I'd rather do something like maybe build towards something.
And that's a really good way to look at a lot of things. That's a good, if you're throwing it into yourself, that's better than throwing it on crap.
Well, anything with analytics, I get obsessed with. So, but Quinn, thanks for coming down. Probably
yeah,
one of the most,
me.
Knew how to do a podcast person that we've had in a long time.
So. Like a young BJ.
I told you, that's his son.
We see promise in your
that's
future.
That's his son. Because when I first remember when I hit you up about, you hit me up about the shows and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to talking and you was telling me all this shit. I was like, God damn, you sound like BJ.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everybody says that a lot.
Broadcasting background, good time.
Everything. Right. It's his son. I look kind of alike a little bit.
That's fine. I'll find your son out there somewhere.
Dad. I'm sure he's out there floating around looking for pops.
I'm still waiting on the DNA results.
Yeah.
All right, call Nate, back. Nate, you just want to, what do you want at the end?
Come on, Morgan League with the hook.
All right, let me. I guess
you got to jump on too, Quinn.
We got some new ones. I want to see which ones you like, and we'll go out with that one.
Okay.
All right, so.
Look at him.
Nope, that's already too slow. Is that bad? I already know that.
This like I'm in Luigi's Mansion.
I know.
But the bass just kicked in. Bass kicked in for you, though.
Got them chorus. Oh, shit. Fresh and clean. Thanks for listening. Fresh and clean. Morgan Lee. Let's hit it, girl.
She hitting. She spitting. She getting everything. Hey.
Appreciate the support. Sometimes Nate is a dork. It's the Fresh and Clean podcast. Make sure to report.
Okay. Get it, Quinn.
That's that Noblesville freestyle. Haven't heard her rap that white in a while.
Hey.
Yeah, that's just my style. Got BJ, got Nate, got Quinn and Morgan Lee.
Hey.
We the Fresh and Clean.
Come on. I'ma go ahead and I'ma tag on in. Morgan Lee hit it, I'ma go and hit it again. We fresh and clean, BJ on the beat. White is beat maker, but he's making beats for the freaks. And we got a new logo, cause Morgan's the truth. I didn't use her that time, I'ma use her now. And two, and three, and four, cause Morgan, you disrespect her, you'll get fucked up. And shout out to John, cause that's my cousin, what's up, bruh? And Cleophas, we ain't seen you in a minute. Hope your ass ain't dead off crack or linen. But Cleophas, that's my guy, you heard? I just wish he brushed his teeth so I could have a talk with him. Goddamn it.